Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
نکاح عقد مسنو دکھے دل کا مرہم نکاح عقد مسنو دکھے دل کا مرہم یہ فرما گئے ہے رسول مکرم یہ فرما گئے ہے رسول مکرم یہ شادی ہے بے شک محبت کا زینہ یہ شادی ہے بے شک محبت کا زینہ بہاروں کی آمد صبا کا ترنم بہاروں کی آمد صبا کا ترنم نکاح عقد مسنو دکھے دل کا مرہم یہ فرما گئے ہے رسول مکرم یہ شادی کی تقریب سب کو مبارک یہ شادی کی تقریب سب کو مبارک یہ نعمت خدا کی طہارت کا پرچم طہارت کا پرچم فضاؤں میں عقد نکاح جلوہ گر ہے فضاؤں میں عقد نکاح جلوہ گر ہے مبارک مبارک
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم Well, it's another beautiful morning, Wednesday morning, the 10th of November 2021, which is also the 5th of Rabi'ul Akhir 1443. My name is Arafat bin Ibrahim Hatia, and of course our beloved engineer, none other than Brother Bonface, who's with us this morning. He will be with us for the bliss of marriage. And of course we welcome our beloved wonderful listeners of Sirius FM. We welcome our beloved wonderful listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Our WhatsApp number is 084-786-3132 International overseas listeners +27847863132 +27847863132 We welcome our beloved Ustad on our bliss of marriage. Ustad, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ustad,
wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. بارك الله فيكم عرفات جزاكم الله خيرا.
Ustad, there's a listener saying that I am Ruwaidia, dear Mufti Sab. My future in-laws refuse me to marry their son if I don't change my name. They say that the meaning of my name is a serpent and I will mess their son's life up. Is this true, Ustad?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nuswalli ala rasulihi al-kareem. Amma ba'd. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us, innakum tud'auna yawm al-qiyamah, that verily you'll be called on the day of qiyamah bi asma'ikum wa asma'i abaikum, by your name and your father's name, Abdul Qadir bin Ismail, Arafat bin Ibrahim, like that. Fa'ahsinu asma'akum, hence choose good names. The Muslim, the hadith in Abu Dawood in Mishkat Sharif is authentic also. The problem and musibat nowadays with Muslims is they don't even know how to pronounce the names properly, and therefore you get all the problems. One day, many years ago, 10 years ago maybe or more, one lady phoned and she told me that they kept the daughter's name Samina. Mm-hmm. So I told her Samina means little Lota, to be fat, you know. So she was disappointed. So then she said, but somebody else gave another meaning. So I said, beloved sister, you're pronouncing it wrong. It's not Samina, it is Samina. Alif ba ta sa, alif be te se. Samina means something precious and something valuable. Now see, if you spell it and pronounce it Samina, the meaning is bad. And you spell it, you pronounce it Samina, T-H-A, not S-A. So remember, it will mean precious and valuable. So same thing has happened here. That your daughter's name, sister's name, whoever's name is, Ruwaydha, what a God. So Rawdatum min Riyadil Jannah, Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, is authentic hadith in Mishkat Sharif, Musnad Ahmad, Ma bayna bayti wa mimbari, Rawdatum min Riyadil Jannah, the portion between my home and between my pulpit and mimbar is one of the gardens of Jannah. Now you take Rawdha, D-H-A, with the dot, and that will mean garden, and Ruwaydha is tazghir, is the diminutive of it, so that will mean bagicha, a small garden, so totally 100% properly. But now you go pronounce it Ruwaydha, so remember with the dal. So then it means respite and all that. So therefore, if you're spelling it and pronouncing it correctly, and that is how it's supposed to be pronounced, Ruwaydha, R-U-W-A-Y-D-H-A, Ruwaydha. So, and you can put the H in the end if you want, so totally permissible. And all that other meanings you are giving are all fairy tales then. So you can marry, you can do everything, there's no problem with that.
Somebody says here, Ustad, that Honorable Mufti Sab, I have a loving husband and not prepared to share him with a second wife. There is a lady, Mufti Sab, who is a threat to our marriage. How do I tell her to back off? Because she really loves my husband, Ustad.
So you must tell her straight in the face that she's not welcome in your house. She must not have contact with you. She must not have contact with your husband. And tell your husband that this lady here is going to cause problems in our life and so forth. He must not entertain anything of hers and so forth. Wala taqrabu zina. Sometimes they will come with a sad story. They will play with your, you know, sympathy and empathy. They will want you to pay attention and so forth. So you must be clear on all this issue. So you must guard your family, guard your husband, guard your children. So these are troublemakers. And read Surah 29 verse 30. Rabbin surni alal qawmil mufsideen. Oh Allah, save me against the mischief makers and troublemakers. There are so many men who want to get married. So why must you poke your nose in somebody else's marriage? That's what beats me, you know. But these ladies who want to go as a second wife and third wife and all, that why must you poke your nose in those people's business? And then they also to blame the husbands that they think, no, this one, she looks very nice. So remember, then all the turmoil and problem starts. You must remember what you hate also goes away. So you, this wife who posed this question, read Surah 25, verse 74. Rabbah Oh Allah, grant us such spouses and such children that are the coolness of the eyes. Start ta'aleem in your house, cement your marriage with your husband. Read Ya Wadud, do Ya Wadud, give out charity. And there's no, you must be cruel to be kind. You just tell them, you know what, you don't come near our house and we got nothing to do and you're not welcome here. Straightforward talk, 1 day, 2 days. In Yemen, I tell sometimes people who are the troublemakers, they'll say, but they'll feel bad. I say, Hakro bodi inneke baro charno pachi barabar thivanna. So 1-2 days, they will have a fever, and after that, they'll be straight, no problem. Then hamesha like sukvoito, then always we are happy, we got no problem. So let them get fever for 1-2 days, so you must remember, that is what Islam is teaching you. These are troublemakers, you must remember that.
I love your answer, Ustad. Ustad, listen to this one, the mother says, my daughter is becoming an alima. She only passed, it says, 10 at 5. How will she get a job in the corporate world when she qualifies, Ustad? Don't you think secular knowledge is also vital? And please stop telling our daughters not to study, dear Mufti Sab, and not to work. Tomorrow they get divorced. Are you going to assist them, Ustad? Anonymous mother.
I'm even surprised that you can think like that. Your thinking itself speaks volumes about your level of Iman and so forth and so on. So our parents never went to school. They couldn't write. They couldn't. Allah Ta'ala gave them haya. Allah gave them Iman, Islam, Taqwa, all that. So what good is there you send your daughter to study and then you're worrying about her to her job and all these things here? It's haram for Muslim women to go to university and college and all these things here. You don't see all what's happening now, you're blind or what? Don't you see how they lose their haya and shame? They lose their virginity. Some of them become murtad and leave the fold of Islam. You can quote me wherever you want. That's what I'm telling you. We're not here that you must like us. We're not here for that purpose. We are here to defend the Sharia and promote the Sharia. Whether you like it or you lump it, that's your business. It's haram for ladies to go and work outside. Corporate world and all this, you must remember that. She is studying, standard 5 is enough for her, so you must remember she's not becoming alima. Take all that from your head out, there's no alima business. She's just studying more about Islam and so forth. They just do all hit and run course, and Bukhari Sharif they finish and they say alima. That is just fooling the people, remember that. So you must remember she's a taliba, and now after that 1 year keep her in your house and then teach her how to cook, how to run a house and everything. You get one nice pious good Maulana and mashallah she will stay with him and she'll have children, 5-10 children, and that's very good for her. So that is what she has to do. She has to look after her husband, look after her children, and that is what Islam tells them to do. But the satanic system will come, وَزَيَّنَ لَهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ أَعْمَالَهُمْ, and the shaitan will come and say, no, that she must have a degree. South Africa, how many people got degree today? 40%, 35% are unemployed. That matric certificate is not worth the paper on which is written. So all these people with degrees and so forth, they're running your ESCOM. So what are they doing? So what the degree is helping them, I'm asking you. So not worth the paper on which is written. Millions of people with degrees don't have job. So always beg Allah. Allah says, you asking how will they love? Allah told, وَلَوْ أَنَّ أَهَلَ الْقُرَىٰ آمَنُوا وَاتَّقُوا. If you have Iman, you have Taqwa and piety, لَفَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ بَرَكَاتٍ مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. We will open the doors of barakah and blessing for them, مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ, from the heavens and the earth. Remember that. That Maulvi, that Mufti who tells you that a woman must go university and go there and study with a man and all that, he's Dhal and Mudil, is a shaitan. You can tell him I said so. You must remember he led people astray. So in this day and this age, you want to send your woman there to the university. I'm not speaking of correspondence. Correspondence, even we say it's fine. We're speaking of physically going there and so forth. So remember in Surah 7, Surah A'raf, and verse number 16, verse number 96, chapter 7, verse number 96, Almighty Allah states, Allah will open the doors of barakah and blessing from the heavens and the earth. Chapter 7, verse 96, Allah has mentioned it. You asking me if she gets divorced and that, who will sustain her? So if she got no income, so we'll collect zakat and give her. This morning I gave a fatwa to one lady. She says that she embraced Islam and she's a Muslimah and her husband passed away. She doesn't have anybody. So I said, fine. So go to your imam, to your maulana, to your organization there and tell them they must give you zakat money. So remember, Allah has made systems in that. But we don't sell our haya. We don't compromise our deen. We don't compromise the teaching of Islam. So that is our answer in that case.
Somebody says, my son lives in Johannesburg, Ustad. I'm a single mom. Can I fly down alone to come visit him, Ustad?
No, you can't. It's haram. You must remember that a woman must have a mahram. You are in Durban, you want to fly to Joburg, you are in Joburg, you want to fly to Cape Town. You can't go for Hajj. You can't go for Umrah. It's Umrah season now. Can a lady go for Umrah alone? It's totally haram according to all four schools. Shafi'is, Malikis, Hanafis, Hanbalis. So when you can't go for Umrah, how we can run around here and there and so forth? So you go with your father or you go with your brother or you go with your other son or whoever or son-in-law. Israel. So in that way there, to travel alone, even if by plane or helicopter or what. So we don't look at how quickly you can reach there, we look at the distance. Once the distance is 78 kilometers or more, then you must have a mahram when you are traveling, and that is compulsory. 48 miles or more, 78 kilometers or more.
084-786-3132. The brother says, can I get married, dear Mufti Sahab, on the same day as my wife passes on? Should the nikah be before the burial or after, Ustad?
So get your body, your wife buried first, and then you want to marry. It's permissible, so you must remember that. If you're asking permissible, it's permissible. If you are asking is the right thing to do, ethical, we will say no. We will say that 3 days, you must wait for mourning period. Mourning means that, you know, you should be sad and so forth. But in your case, it seems that you're very happy that your wife died, you understand? And I don't know, maybe you were busy already with number two, tuning her up and talking to her on the WhatsApp and email. So all that is haram, obviously, brother. So no sense you ask the question, can I marry her? So what was happening whilst your wife was there? Were you busy with her already? So all that is haram, you must remember that. So people like to ask questions without giving the background, remember that. So give the whole story. So you were busy with that lady and tuning her up whilst you were married to the first one, and you were just waiting for her to die, and then you got married. So all that you were doing is totally haram.
Allahu Akbar. Somebody says, Mufti Sahab, what is the best gift to give to your daughter on her wedding day and when she is leaving to go to her husband's home, and what is the best advice to give her? Ustad Anonymous.
This is a three-part question. All Mighty Allah Jalla Wala teaches us in Surah 66 verse 6. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. Ey iman walo, O you who believe, save yourself and your children, your progeny from the fire. Surah chapter 66 verse 6. So always keep that in front of you. Hadith in Bukhari Sharif, kullukum ra'in wa kullukum mas'ulun an ra'iyya. Each one of you is a shepherd, and each one of you will be questioned regarding your flock. You'll be questioned regarding your children, grandchildren, all of them, your wife and all. So because you are the amir, you are the shepherd too. Third one, you as a father, mother, which is the best gift to give to your daughter when she's growing up, even before her marriage. Today we got the C syndrome. You know C syndrome? A, B, C. We give them clothes, we give them CDs, we give them computers, we give them cell phones, we give them cash, we give them cars. All the C's we gave them. But the best C we neglected. Ma nahala walidun nahlan ahsana min adabin hasan. The good character. How many a father got time to speak to his daughter? He's playing golf. You must remember that. Which kind of golf? You must ask him. He'll tell you which kind of golf he's playing. The mother is gallivanting here and there by the malls and meeting Paul and all that. Obviously, we don't say in all cases, but in many cases, it's the truth. We can't hide all these things here. So, the hadith is mentioned in Tirmidhi Sharif. So, father, mother, it's a dual responsibility, for both. Both of them, you have to nurture your children with manners and morals and character and mold them. Then comes the time when she's going to get married. Story time. So you must remember one day, one person, he was elated and delighted. He told his decree, he told his sahibzadi, he told his ladli. You see how many words we use for you? So he told his beloved daughter, oh my beti, when you get married, I'll give you everything of the world. And sometimes people go mad, if I don't give you everything of the world, then there will be divorce upon your mother. So now when the daughter got married, he started getting worried, you know, how am I going to give everything? So the ulama he came to, they said that the divorce will take place, the talaq will take place. So they came, you must remember, to Imam Muhammad bin Hassan Shaybani, rahimahullah, he's buried in Iran. So you must buried there in Tehran. But these kuffar Shias have decimated, destroyed, nam nishan nahi, just like the terrorists in India, the government are doing today. So you must remember terrorizing the Muslims and destroying their masajid. So you must remember how many masjids got vandalized, damaged, demolished and all that under this terrorist and under this nationalist government of Modi and so forth. Everything is documented. So same thing Iran did and same thing Palestine. They're all our enemies. Remember that. Quran says there. So لَتَجِدَنَّ أَشَدَّ النَّاسِ عَدَاوَةً لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا الْيَهُودَ وَالَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا. Your worst enemies will be the Jews and the Mushriks, the idol worshippers. So there is Quran, Surah 5, verse 82. So the Shias, their origin is Jew. Their father, their founder is a Jew, Abdullah bin Sabah. So anyway, so Imam Muhammad bin Hassan Shaybani, rahimahullah, who is the student of Imam Malik, rahimahullah, student of Imam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah, teacher of Imam Shafi'i, rahimahullah. Imam Shafi'i mentioned his name 7 different places in Musnad al-Shafi'i. Nevertheless, they came to him. He said, no, it's very easy. You, the father, give your decree, give your ladli, give your sahibzadi, your beti, your beloved daughter, the Quran Sharif. The ulama were perplexed and said, but how, if you give the Quran, then how can he say we gave the whole world? So you can't claim something. This is all ulama and fuqaha and jurists, you know. So they asked him, but Sheikh Imam Muhammad, but how does it solve the problem? So he read, وَمَا تَسْقُطُ مِنْ وَرَقَةٍ إِلَّا يَعْلَمُهَا وَلَا حَبَّةٍ فِي ظُلُمَاتِ الْأَرْضِ وَلَا رَتْبٍ وَلَا يَابِسٍ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مُبِينٍ. Is no leaf that falls. وَمَا تَسْقُطُ مِنْ وَرَقَةٍ إِلَّا يَعْلَمُهَا وَلَا حَبَّةٍ فِي ظُلُمَاتِ الْأَرْضِ. There is no seed, there is no grain in the darkness and depth of the land and sand. وَلَا رَتْبٍ وَلَا يَعْبِسٍ. There is nothing new, nothing old. Everything is in the Quran Sharif, or everything is in Lawh-e Mahfuz, both translations. So now, she got married, went to the Quran Sharif, and subhanAllah, the father, mother also lived happily ever after. So give them Quran Sharif, give them Ahadith Mubarakah, give them that. Today we give so many things, money, gold, jewelry, all that. But that will not ensure and guarantee happiness. If they practice on the Quran Sharif, they practice on the Sunnah Mubarakah, so that will be the best gift. And you, my honorable mother, you, my honorable father, when you let your daughter go, then give her, let her go with full blessings, not half-heartedly. You see, just now that lady said, her daughter is, you must remember, studying. What happens, how she'll get job in the corporate world? She used a big word, you know. And how will she, you understand, what happens, she get divorced? All these things happen when we don't make dua properly. Our tawakkul, trust and all that in Allah is very, very weak and so forth. So you must remember, you must give your blessings 100% to your daughter, and you must tell your daughter one advice, that when she's going and before she goes, your husband now has got more rights over you than we parents have over you. You understood, parents? When your daughter is about to leave and go to a matrimonial home, and before that also, tell her that your hubby, your husband, has got more rights over you than we as parents. And that is what Islam teaches us. Inna a'zama an-nasi haqqan 'ala ar-rajul. The person who has the greatest rights over the men after they get married, ummuhu, is his mother. Wa inna a'zama an-nasi haqqan 'ala al-mar'a zawjuha. The person who has the greatest rights over the female and the lady after she gets married is her husband. He has more rights over her than even her parents. So once we understand that, then the friction, rows and ructions, all will get eliminated. We must know what to do on what occasion. Knowledge is to know, and hikmat is to know when to use that knowledge. So that is the wisdom that you apply, and that is what advice you should give your daughter.
Let's go to overseas, Ustad.
The number says +61. They say here the vaccine has become mandatory for us here overseas. And if we don't take it, Mufti Saab, we can lose our work, our jobs. What can we do, Ustad?
Get together and then sue the government. You must remember that. How many places they sued the government, sued the companies and so forth. They're in South Africa. So you must remember many companies thought that they will make it mandatory for them. The one lady from the beer or something, the African lady from Skalka or from the beer, I sent it out. So she won, and we must salute her. You must remember that, for taking up the cudgels and the challenge, and she won. So today you must remember that in South Africa, if the company says it's mandatory, and now that lady or that man, they take that vaccine, and any harm comes to them, hospitalization, operation, does clinic, all the expenses that company has to pay. So you must go to court. Remember this type of things. They speak of international law. See, I show you one thing. How low the West has gone. You must remember this. These are all shaitan. Therefore, I tell you, there's no pandemic. There's nothing pandemic about this. It's all plandemic. It is all, you must remember, they want to control the population, and Africa is not even counted. You must remember that. So Africa is considered third world, fourth world, because they know the corruption that goes here and all. They'll send all their junk here and all these type of things. So they want that monopoly. They want the hegemony and so forth. Today, on BBC or one of these news, as I heard, you understand, one of the radio stations, okay, now I got it also, which one it was. So they said in Austria, listen carefully what I'm saying. In Austria, if you take a vaccine, then they will give you a bonus that for all the men who go get the vaccine, you can go for half an hour to the brothel and choose a lady of your liking free of charge. That is Western mentality. That is a kuffar mentality. So remember, people are rebelling, revolting against it and so forth. But now they'll tell you, we'll give you discount, we will do this, because they themselves are getting, you must remember, commission, a cut out of this. Our fatwa, and we stand by it, vaccines are totally, absolutely haram. You must remember that. This is why Israel, the rogue apartheid regime, that first vaccine, second vaccine, then booster, go and see their statistics, how many people have been harmed. Go and see other countries then. So this, you will have to go first one, second one, booster, this. South Africa, the people, the indigenous also, so they don't interested, you must remember. They say this is the plan of the whites, you must remember that. So that to get control over the world and so forth, which we have to agree to a certain extent, you must remember. So this is hatched up in the West, you must remember. For them, we non-whites, Indians, coloureds, you know, under old South Africa, we were classified. The Indians, coloureds, blacks, and Africans, they were considered non-entities, you must remember that. So that is what they want, depopulation. You must be a fool not to understand this type of things here. So you must get like-minded people and get your lawyers, and you'll get thousands on your side, you must remember that. So this Arab tenpot dictators, they just know how to shine the boots of the West, you must remember. So they will make it compulsory, because they can't think, because they worship the West more than they worship Allah. But if you got thinkers, critical thinkers, then you can, man, you can galvanize so many people, and then you go to court. You must remember this type of things here, and say, we will not, you bring the companies down. 1,000 of you working, 500 say, right, fine. You want vaccine, we don't work. See how you will bring them back to their knees. So it has happened in some places already.
Somebody says, why are Muslim parents sending their daughters overseas, Ustad, to work with the excuse that there are no jobs in their country? Some parents are even advising their married daughters to relocate without the husband because he refuses to relocate by scaring her with poverty stories of she doesn't relocate, Ustad.
Remember all this I told you just now are all the weakness of our iman. You must remember, وَزَيَّنَ لَهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ أَعْمَالُهُمْ. Since when is permissible for a daughter to go overseas and work, for the wife to go alone and work? الشَّيْطَانُ يَعِدُكُمُ الْفَقْرَ. Shaitan promises you poverty. وَيَأْمُرُكُمْ بِالْفَحْشَاءِ, and he commands you to do all the obscene and indecent actions, the haram things he will tell you, and our people fall for it and so forth. And they say, no, this is the new way we must do things, without realizing they're playing straight into the hands of shaitan. The ayat I quoted, Surah 2, Surah Baqarah, verse number 268, الشيطان يعيدكم الفقر ويأمركم بالفحشاء. So you must remember now what family you are living in now. So the wife is there, one child here, the husband here, daughter gone. I gave you the example 1,000 times, 100 times. 40, 50, 60 years ago, we were still very young, you must remember. One Maulvi Sahib came to our masjid, you know. So we used to listen there in the masjid. Sometimes you listen, sometimes you say, this Maulana is not speaking nice thing, we just walk away. We were very young. So anyway, this Maulana was a jolly Maulana. So he said a nice story, you know. He said that, you know, ke ek bhai aavu, one brother came and he told me he want to send his daughter to London. So that time the woman used to like to go to London and the man used to like to go to Dublin. You see, for both we got the story. So why you want to go to London? He said, no, London ma boche, you know, a lot of opportunities and this and that. So make dua, Maulvi Sahib. So you must make dua. So now you see, he want to send his daughter. So Maulvi Sahib was a sharpshooter. So he told that father, you are telling me you are sending your daughter out in the rain and I must make dua, she must not get wet. You see, that is what we are asking today. And then the man used to like to go to Dublin those days under apartheid and that. You know why? Jo Dublin jata hai, double hawker wapas aata hai. So when they used to go to Dublin, then they used to get married there to the white lady and so forth. But they couldn't bring them back to South Africa. So they used to settle here and there, Swaziland, Botswana, and here and there and so forth. So these are all their stories, their history and so forth. In Islam, all this is totally haram. We have to reassess our iman, our faith, our connection with Almighty Allah. Allah Jalla wa Ala is sustaining, nourishing, providing the entire universe. Me and you, He won't give us. So, Wallahu khairu raziqin. So you must remember, I told you my story. You understand? That when I resigned in Newcastle 20 years, so I had nothing. So you must remember that I didn't have a job, I didn't have anything. Mohsema used to always wonder that this guy is tapsi or what, you understand? And he told me, I'm to tear it up. I said, you can tear it up, it's fine, but me, I'm leaving. So you must remember, then see, I came, and then I joined them. After 20 years Newcastle, then I came this side. So after 17 years with CII, I resigned. So you must remember, there again, nothing. So you must remember, Capital Group came and Allah gave us. So everything comes from Allah, remember. وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. So put your trust little bit in Allah. Allah will open up so many doors. But we put our trust in our degrees. We put our trust in people. We trust we have to go here begging here and there. No, you beg Allah, don't beg people. And Allah will open up so many doors for you. You must remember these type of things. That is what the Muslim has to do.
Ustad, I have to read this question to you. This brother says, it's very, very sad how you're judging our senior Mufti. And he is a prominent alim. And he mentions also that there are senior prominent alims. You need to apologize. And to you, Maulana Arafat, stop being like a mouse and puppet. Apologize, Mufti Sahab, before Allah's azab falls on you and on Merkaz. Ustad, anonymous brother.
My brother, we already responded. You must remember that when people go and pass fatwa and defend your people who go with the lesbians to court, who go and close the masjid, and remember, cannot say Shias are kuffar and so forth, obviously we will tell him that fatwa of his is totally wrong. So you must remember that. So we will tell him that why does he not speak against these shaitans? We challenge them. You must ask them this, why they don't take up the challenge. We challenge them on two issues. You give the fatwa regarding these 11 shaitans. Can you read salat behind them or not? According to us, they're not even ulama, they're a bunch of shaitans. You must remember that. You can take my name, it's recorded, everything, we'll send you the podcast and broadcast. So you can't read salat behind them. And you must remember that any mufti says you can read, so give it to us in writing, and then we'll challenge you. So remember, second one, why you're hiding? You can't pass one fatwa against the Saudis. Why? You want to curry favor with them? They are 100% murtad with all their policies and everything. So that is what you must learn. You're a real puppet, you. You must remember this. You're the bigger mouse. So you must remember that your ulama, so-called ulama, are disgraced everywhere. You must remember that. How many people have stopped giving them money? You can go ask them. So that's how they worried about it. You must remember that. So we don't curry favor with anybody, any organization, any politician, and any government. We speak the truth, whether you like it or not. Whether he, Mufti Sahib, like it or not, or anybody like it. Truth has to be spoken. Qulil haqqa walau kana murra. Speak the truth, even though the truth is bitter. The hadith in Musnad Ahmad.
Well, it's exactly now 18 minutes to 12 o'clock. Dear Mufti Sahib, please advise. I have a domestic helper who is a married, staunch Christian woman. We live separately from my in-laws. Now my father-in-law has been coming to my house a lot. In the meantime, he is making advances on my helper, and she has complained to me, and she does not feel safe, Ustad. As a daughter-in-law, how do I approach the subject? I don't want to hurt my mother-in-law, and at the same time, I don't want my father-in-law to know that I know. How do I tell my husband, Ustad?
Obviously, honesty is the best policy. You have to speak to your husband that this is a big problem, and then he must tell his father, your father-in-law, he's not welcome here, and so forth. He's got other hidden agendas. Maybe when your husband goes to work, then you are there alone, and then he comes, he starts getting busy and trying to get busy with a lady, offering money and what have you. So the best thing, you have to tell your husband and tell your father-in-law he's not welcome in your house. You must make it clear. You must remember that. Therefore, I always tell you, in this day and this age, it's best to live separate. So one is, he will try his level best, you must remember, to take advantage of you, Allah forbid. But mashallah, you are a lady with taqwa, piety, so he knows that. Then you got a helper, domestic, now he wants to take advantage of her and so forth. So you need to tell him, your husband, that this is what the helper said. And he can then ask the helper in front of you what happened, when it happened, how it happened, all these type of things. And then the whole story will come out, and he must tell his father he's no more welcome here. So you must remember, especially when he's not there, the son is not there. So that is how you will solve the problem.
Ustad, a listener wants to know, Ustad, or this is Mrs. Adrian. She says, my daughter said marriage is for the birds. Why must we stick to just one husband or wife for our entire lives? Where is our freedom to run our own lives? Mrs. Adrian's daughter. What answer must Mrs. Adrian tell her, Ustad?
You must remember, Mrs. Adrian and your daughter, you see, this is a knee-jerk reaction. That Adrian, Mrs. Adrian's daughter, that you went into a marriage, it failed. And now you're busy with somebody else, according to your mother, and your mother is highly, highly upset about it, and I agree with your mother. So what we must realize is this. Almighty Allah created us human beings as the masterpiece of His creation. So if you're going to say variety is the spice of life, so today you have this boyfriend, next week another one, then third one. So I am posing this question to you, my sister, then Mrs. Adrian's daughter. What difference is there between you and an animal? You must remember that. The animals do that. They have their mating season. So one day here, one day here, one day here, one day there. So you will be the one that you will fall pregnant, or you yourself will get scarred, and you're already scarred. You must remember, your one marriage didn't work out. out. So now, because your marriage didn't work out, you feel that, yes, best, now I'm a cheap line, I'm second hand, and so forth. So let me just go and sleep with anybody and with everybody, and so forth. So that is reducing and relegating yourself. You must remember, to the level of animals and so forth. So we are human beings. Human beings supposed to behave like a human being and behave responsible. We need to have family. You need to be dedicated, loyal to your husband. He dedicated, loyal to you. And if God wills, Allah wills, you have children, you be an example for them. Not this life that you hop in with this one and that one and that one. So you are debasing and relegating yourself to the level of animal. Story time. I was in Newcastle, as I told you just now, 20 years. One day I remember vividly these things. It was a white lady, so we dressed like that, she can see also. So then she asked me, are you married? I said, yes. She told me, the white lady, she said that she's not married, she's living with a lover. So she asked me, what's the difference between me and her? She lives with her lover, I'm living with my wife. So I told her, there's big difference. So she asked, what is the difference? I said, see, where? She said, the difference is only I got a certificate, marriage certificate she doesn't have. I said, see, God Almighty Allah created human being as the masterpiece. And you living with your lover and so forth. So you are relegating, debasing yourself to the level of animals. Animals do that. One day this lover, then when you have a, you know, breakdown there or something, and something turns sour, then next boyfriend, then next girlfriend, and life goes. So marriage is a commitment, is a partnership. We share the dukh and sukh. We will share the happy moments and the sad moments, the prosperity and adversity. So when I explained that to her, then she understood a little bit, to a great extent, that, you know, that human being must always be the best. You don't relegate yourself to the level of what animals are doing. Animals just eat anything and everything. That's why the khinzir, the swine, is haram also. Multi-reason, but one reason is that. So you must remember that each one of us must do that which will be the best for humanity, best for the environment, best for our religion, and so forth, and our children. So that is why Islam places so much emphasis on marriage. Just running around here and there, yours is just a knee-jerk reaction because you went through one failed marriage and now you are in love with somebody else and your mother is refusing you. So therefore, you want to justify your vices and your sins. So that reduces respect to you, sister. Your whole thinking is lopsided and rejected in all religions.
Another query, Mufti Sahab, the greatest right over a man is his mother's. Even if she ill-treats him, this is 100% correct. They must make sabr on their mother if she ill-treats them. Mufti Sahab, many men must understand this, that their mothers have a right to ill-treat their wives. They stand by and watch in silence when their mothers ill-treat their wives. This is haram, Ustad.
100%, and it's haram for her to even ill-treat her son. You must remember, so we must look at everything holistically, not selectively. So the mother can't say that, no, it's jaiz for me there to ill-treat you, the son or the daughter-in-law. So that is haram. Haram will always be haram. But after that, Islam teaches the son and the daughter, the biological son, biological daughter, you must still show respect to your parents. You must still make dua for them. You don't go and hit them and throw them in an old age home and all that. That is what Islam means. And regarding her making zulam and oppressing the daughter-in-law, whatever the daughter-in-law does for the mother-in-law, Islamically, is a favor. You can't impose upon her. You don't have that authority. So you must remember that. So there, the husband must step in and tell his mother that what you are doing with respect is wrong and so forth. So we need to understand. But if the husband tells his wife, then remember, that becomes compulsory, provided it is something that is permissible and so forth and so on. So everybody got their own role and everybody got their own rights rights and so forth. That is the beauty of Islam. Inna Allah qad a'ta kulla dhi haqqin haqqa. Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, verily Almighty Allah jalla wa ala has given every person who's eligible to rights their rights. So remember this type of things here. So that is what we are saying, and the hadith is mentioned in Ibn Majah, Mishkat Sharif, various compilations.
Somebody says here, Ustad, that could please Mufti Sahib explain to us what are Sunnis and what should we be? We don't do yours, and is salami okay, Mufti Sahib?
My dad is... you must remember this, we all belong to Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. These divisions we have brought. If you study the history of South Africa, easy I give you. You go there to Cape Town, go to Boer Kaap, you will find that till today, these are the oldest masjids. You must remember 200 years before our democracy. Democracy came in 1994, here to South Africa. So 200 years before that masjid, the Oval Masjid was there. Inshallah, December, I will be going to Cape Town. So I make sure at least one salat I go read there, because it brings back so many memories. We think of Imam Tuan Guru Rahimahullah, the man who was incarcerated at Robben Island from 1781 to 1793. 13 years, and he wrote the first Quran Sharif in the history of South Africa in 13 years there at Robben Island. And there, if you go to the Masjid Oval, you will find a copy of that there. But that's not the original. You know, South Africa, we have become a country of crooks. Let us be honest about this. Majority are crooking. You must remember that. So therefore, the original copy, they kept it in a vault, the ulama of Cape Town. And that's a photocopy there. So we go there. Then you go visit all the masajid. One day I took people, and I said, come, I take your feet. From people from Cape Town. They were amazed because I had the book with me, the history of the masajid of Cape Town. So I told them, see, this is the Hanafi masjid, this is the Shafi masjid, this is this. So they used to have fights also and this type of things. So whether you Hanafi, whether you Shafi'i, whether you Maliki, whether you Hanbali, you still belong to Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Whether you Tablighi, you going out 3 days, 40 days, 4 months, you belong to Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Whether you Salami, that you reading Salami, all these things here. So every Muslim has to make Tablighi. Every Muslim has to read Salami and this type of things here. So nobody will tell you that, no, I mustn't read. So we all have to read. But the problem comes about when we make things that are not compulsory. If a Tablighi tells you that the 3 days per month is compulsory, 40 days is compulsory, it's wrong. This can't be compulsory. It's very good. We promote it all the time. So if somebody tells you that for Salami, you must stand, it's compulsory. But Quran says to remember Allah Ta'ala, Alladhina yadhkuruna Allah qiyama wa qu'uda wa ala junubihim. You remember Allah Ta'ala standing, sitting, reclining. So if that is for Allah Ta'ala, then how can you say you must read Salami standing? It's wrong that. So the people themselves have confused issues. So whether you're reading Salami, whether you're Tablighi, whether you're Shafi, Maliki, Hanafi, we all belong to Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Yes. The Qadianis, Ahmadis, 100% kuffar. Shias, 100% kuffar. They are the ones that swear and curse Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Sayyidina Umar, Sayyidina Usman, Sayyidina Aisha, Sayyidina Hafsa, Amir Muawiyah, radiallahu anhu majma'in. They are the ones who promote mut'ah. I have the book, Khumaini La'anahullah writes, read in Tawdihul Masahil, that you can make mut'ah prostitution for 1 hour. So you think Islam allows all that? So you know, see their hatred for the Sunnis. I told you just now that Imam Muhammad bin Hassan Shaybani, great Imam of the Ahlu Sunnah, that he's buried there in Tehran. You won't find any, no one can show you that. They have destroyed everything, you must remember. So that is the end. And see, I show you another thing. In Kashan, these are cities I visited, I went there and saw. The murderer of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala and Fayruz Abu Lu'lu al-Majusi, they put up a mazar, they put up a mausoleum, they put up a, you must remember, shrine. And the shrine is for what? That they say, Baba Shuja'uddin, you are very brave. You killed Umar, you're a very good person. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. These are the enemies of Islam. These are the enemies of Sahaba, the enemies of Muslim. Shah didn't do it. The Shah, these people, Islamic revolution, they must say satanic revolution. They don't allow the Sunnis one masjid in the capital Tehran. Till today, there is no Sunni masjid. Remember, if anybody tells you, they're lying. So I was there and they told me themselves there isn't. You will find houses and all that, halls and masjid proper, you won't find. So the only Islam country that has got no, in the capital, no masjid for us. You must remember. So Shias kuffar, Qadianis kuffar, Aga Khanis kuffar, Boris kuffar. So they are out of the fold. Remember this type of things. But these are things that we ourselves, we go a little bit this way, that way. Somebody will say this is compulsory. Somebody will say that is compulsory. Then the argument starts. But both are not compulsory. So that is what we should understand.
Well, sir, listen to this question. I am married for 18 years now with a 17-year-old son, Ustad. But dear Mufti Sahab, a man came home and left his inheritance to our son. The man has terminal illness. He said it was for his son and left. After the DNA test, it was found that this kid is not my son. Do I take his entire inheritance away from him? How does it work, Ustad?
I'm not clear with your question. You say you are married, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then for 18 years, and then you say you got the son of 17 years. Then ABC person came, and then he said that he's leaving his inheritance here. So what is he trying to say? They're trying to tell you that the way you posed the question, that he had an affair with you, and this child is not your husband's child, is his child. That's what you are asking according to the question. So that question only you can answer. So you must remember, for our purposes, we will say that you are married to ABC. So that son's lineage will go to ABC. The hadith is clear, al-waladu lil-firash. So you must remember, it goes to the husband and he will be the father. Yes, if the husband negates and says the child is not mine, he divorces, then in that case, that the child, the lineage will go to the mother, because he's saying this child is not his. So anyway, that he brought the money and what have you, assets, what, and left it there. So if he made wasiya, so up to 1/3 for this son of yours, so that is fine, there's no problem. But if he gave the whole estate to him, that's totally haram. It must go back to the heirs. So that person's heirs, his wife, his children, his parents, his family. For your son to take everything is haram. But if the burial expenses are already paid and the debts are already paid and it's 1/3, so or less, so that will be permissible. But you must remember that if it is more than 1/3, it's not permissible, and that must go back to the heirs. So all this you must to solve out this problem among yourself, who slept with who and all these type of things. Last question.
I see the sister says, let's not get further, Ustad. She says, let's stop there, Ustad.
So you can understand yourself what happened, right? Carry on.
My daughter is 45 years old, Ustad. We said we will only allow her to marry when she's 50. Now she has a man in mind. Should we let her get married, Ustad?
First of all, your condition, 50 years she must reach, then you'll get her married, is absolutely haram. What's wrong with your parents? You'll understand, are your parents or you're shaitans and that? That you delay, that your daughter must reach 50 and then get married and so forth. So you must get her married immediately. And if you don't get her married immediately, then you're a sinners, and we will tell the daughter she must get permission from her brother or uncle and get married even without your permission, because you are zalims and oppressors and transgressors in this case, that you preventing your daughter from getting married. She's already 45, absolutely haram. She must get married immediately. So my advice to you, that better give consent, otherwise she'll get married without your consent. Or you say no, she must wait till she's 50 years old. Since when you got all this here? All these type type of conditions you are making are haram and not acceptable in Islam. Okay, let me run through the program for today, inshallah. So 12 o'clock will be the news, inshallah. After that, with the Mubarak Sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we must comply with it, with Mona Katani, 12 to 1, then 1 o'clock Adhan, 105 to 130, Surah Maryam, and that will be verses 41 to 45 today, inshallah, verses 41 to 45. And thereafter will be 130 to 2, Surah Rad, verses 16 to verses 18. And thereafter, 2 to 3 will be Madrasa on Air, Maulana Zahid Khan, 3 to 3.30, repeat of this morning, Q&A, 3.30 to 4, the Abrahamic Accord, Hazrat Mufti Rizaul Haqsab, so that's in Urdu, 4 o'clock to 5 o'clock will be the finality of Nubuwa by Maulana Shabir Saluji Sahab, and then 5 to 7, Maulana Khalid Yaqub, 7 to 7.30 will be the repeat of today's tafsir, 7.30 to 8, Maulana Yunus Patel, Rahimahullah's advices, and then from 8 to 10 will be Brother Shafaat with Medical File and with Brother Maulana Salim Kareem, and remember 10 to 11 will be the trials we face in life by Mufti Ibrahim Saleji. So wonderful program for this afternoon and evening, inshallah. Barakallah. Remember, today is Wednesday. Make dua after Zuhur. Allah Jalla Wala will accept our duas. Barakallah fiqh. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.